There's a lot of things in this old world that just do not make sense. Like why there's so few believers on the firing line, while so many others sit the fence. But if you want to know where the Word of God stands, and believe it wants to use your feet and hands, it's time to take your faith out of the seats and into the streets, and come along with me. If you only look, then you will see on WCN TV.
Man, I got to get Leighton Howerton to write me a theme song like that. Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer sitting in tonight for my buddy Rob Pugh. Rob's one of God. He's one of the most unbelievably genuine Christian men that I know of, and it's an honor to sit in. He's a little bit under the weather tonight, so we can pray for Rob to get back up on his feet. That guy keeps more balls in the air than any juggler I've ever seen, so it's an honor to be able to sit in tonight, and we really I host my own show, Coach Dave. I host CoachDaveLive.com. We do it every morning, five days a week, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So for those of you maybe who are in Wisconsin, it'd be a little bit early, but although we do have people get up early enough to do that. And we're what one of my friends, Jim Harrison, called Do Radio at Coach Dave Live, and we try to get people involved. And tonight, Rob had already scheduled a buddy of mine, Craig Mickle, who's Craig's a firefighter extraordinaire and all kinds of different things that he gets done. And he'd already scheduled Craig to come in and talk about the refiner's fire. And let me lay a little bit out in front of you here before we get rolling too deep inside of this. I share on my show, which I do 5 days a week. Bible says that the whole creation groaneth, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, English was my minor when I was in college. I don't know why. I was a jock. Why would anybody want, except I love language, right? Manifest. What does manifest mean? Manifest means that's the load. If you're driving a truck and they want to know what your manifest is, you tell them what you're carrying, what's in the back of the truck. And so when the Bible says that the whole world's waiting for the manifestation, they're waiting for the junk, the Christian junk to show up, right? They're waiting to see where's the beef, as they said. And that's why we try to do a Coach Dave Live. And I don't mean to take credit for it, but I just hold some responsibility in lighting the fire under Craig Mickle. And we're going to talk about that here in a second. And here's what I'm convinced of, folks. Again, whole creation is groaneth, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. We're in the mess that we're in mainly because the Christian church hasn't engaged. We've not engaged in the culture. Christ, excuse me, told us we were the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And for the most part, we focused our ministries, our actions on what I would call mercy ministries, meaning feeding the poor, taking care of the sick. That stuff is all good. It's all good. I'm not making fun of any of that. And I always said that that's the feminine side of the church. It's the feminine side. What about the masculine side? What about that side where my mom used to say to me, you wait till your father gets home. And when she said that, I knew I was in trouble. And we have that side of Christianity, too. We have the mercy side of Christianity, and then we have the authority, the thus saith the Lord side of Christianity. And here at Coach Dave Live, we focus more on that. I said there's enough people doing mercy ministry. Won't somebody stand up and say enough is enough? And that's really, really what it's about. Because the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places. It's a spiritual war. And I don't know if we're really hearing that through a lot of our churches today. So we have a real treat for you tonight, because Craig Mickle, who is not making light of it, he's just a dude. He's not some you know, big ordained minister, doesn't have a great big church. He's just a guy sitting out there saying, man, something is wrong. We got to do something about it. And so Craig and I met through Coach Dave Live and some others who are going to be joining us here tonight with the idea of, here I am, Lord, send me, put me in the game. Put me in, coach. I want to play here. And boy, Craig, more than anybody that I know, man, has he ever grabbed it and run with it. And so what we want to talk about tonight, and I'm going to just shut up here for a minute, if you can believe that I can do that, and turn it over to Craig and let him talk about what he's calling the refiner's fire and the obligation of Christian men and women to actively get engaged in the church. And I want to ask, in the culture, I want you to ask yourself this question. If you're a pastor or know a pastor or part of a church, what is the last prophetic thing that your congregation has done? By prophetic, I mean this, to step out into the culture and say, thus saith the Lord, whether it be the abortion fight, whether it be the transgender fight, whether it be whatever it would be, because they told us, see, that there's a separation between the church and state, and because they told us that, for the most part, the church has not got involved when it's about expanding a kingdom. So I've given you kind of an overview here, and Craig's in here tonight with some what I call Coach Dave Livers. So these are people who are joining us 5 days a week, so most of them 5 days a week. And they're all part of this thing called Refiner's Fire. Folks, just a slunky fireman has come up with this unbelievable thing. I'm not making fun of you, Craig, you know that, right? But he's not, like I said, he's not some highly trained Christian. He's just a dude. He's just a dude. And said, man, we got to do something about this. Craig, I'm going to shut up a little bit and come on in, brother, and tell us, what is the refiner's fire? What is we're staking, putting stones, prayer walking, and we're making a real difference. Craig Mickle is from Maryland, believe it or not, out overlooking Washington, D.C. So he's getting it done. Welcome, Craig. Come on in, brother.
Thank you, Coach. And, you know, refiner's fire really is speaking about the Holy Spirit. And we read about in Acts about the New Testament church, and it says, you know, at Pentecost, the fire of God fell, the Holy Spirit. And I think what's happened to, you know, me personally is I didn't really appreciate the Holy Spirit's leading in my life. And, you know, the Holy Spirit has to lead our churches. And I think for a lot of times, a lot of our churches, the Holy Spirit is you know, Jesus knocking on the door, which is a Laodicean church, to kind of let him back in, you know.
But Craig, the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. But a lot of people aren't hearing it, or they're not recognizing his voice. And you're a guy, you heard the voice, you recognized it, and you obeyed it.
Yeah, and I obeyed it, you know. And, you know, I just go back, I think, you know, being a firefighter, you know, I go back over the calls that we had, and, you know, we'd always go back to the foundations of what we learned at the fire academy. And usually when something went wrong on the fire ground, it was because we got away from our foundations. You know, Coach. And so what refiner's fire is if judgment can come and it starts in the house of the Lord, which the Bible says, can revival come from the house of the Lord? And I say, yeah, but it has to be refined by the fire of the Holy Spirit, right? To get us corrected, to get us of one accord. A lot of us like to operate, as Liberty Mel says, in our own little silos. The reason why the New Testament church was so effective is it had the Holy Spirit and they were in one accord. They came to agreement about the things that were very important. And unfortunately, usually you don't get one of accord until you're under persecution, you know? So I'd like to get to the point where maybe we can get to one accord before we get to persecution. But so what Refiner's Fire, what it started as, it wasn't me just kind of thinking, you know, gee, this is what we need. This is the next big program in the United States. This was, I would call it a burden. And I was, I had done some prayer intercession, and I want to say, intercession has not gotten out of style. The fact is, we've gotten away from intercession. I want to just read you this one thing here. Okay, this is from Nehemiah. Nehemiah's intercessory prayer for Israel in captivity. That you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now day and night, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. So Nehemiah did that. Daniel did that. Great men of the Bible were praying and interceding. And any great movement in the Bible has always started out with prayer. then it usually leads into repentance, and then it usually leads into the action and the flowing of the Holy Spirit. So we know that the American church, and I'm saying that in collective, is really the Laodicean church. I mean,
42 folks, you can Google it, 42,000 different denominations of Christianity. I'm an old football coach in 42,000 different huddles. How are we going to score any points in a situation like that? Go ahead, Craig.
Why do you have a huddle at the end of every down so that you all can get on the same page? And Refiner's Fire is asking for the Holy Spirit through his refining fire to get us on the same page and to do it locally. Because if it doesn't happen locally, it's not going to happen state or national wise. And so anyways, I kept getting up in the middle of the night, you know, for weeks in early July. And the Lord just kept putting me that there's something undone. There's something you need to do, Craig. So anyways, I start reading in Revelation about the seven churches. And there's seven churches. And God said, hey, you're doing this right. You know, you hate the Nickelodeons. Great. I like that. But you're not doing this right. And if you literally break each and one of those churches down, the Lord says, you're doing this good, but you're doing this bad. And if you do not correct it, I'm going to do something to you. That's and right. Then at the very end, he says, for those who have an ear to hear, let to the ear, to the churches, to the plurality of it. So what we have is we have a bunch of churches, and we actually have, I think, 350,000 buildings. I looked it up, that are 501c3s, and we're not working together. And what we're doing is Satan's eating our lunch, and the church is a target of Satan. We have to appreciate this. You know, we can sit there and we can look at what we would hope all the churches would be doing and standing and doing this, but we have to remember they're a target. So someone has to intercede and pray for the churches to get us on one accord. We need to repent. But I go back to the very foundation where this is Thanksgiving, right? We're getting ready to do this. Do you know what made this country great? Is because we all came to agreement about one thing. And it wasn't in Jamestown. It was in Plymouth Rock. And let me just read what the first part of the Mayflower Compact was, because these were the Puritans. This is where I think God affirmed the greatness of this nation, not from Jamestown. It says, I'm just going to read this excerpt. Having undertaken for the glory of God, look at what's the priority here, and the advancement of the Christian faith. Right there, that's your declaration. In the honor of the king and the country and a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia. Well, guess what? God said, no, you're going to Massachusetts. Change your plans here.
They were taking the gospel into all the world, which is what Jesus told them to do, right? They left their home. They got on a boat. They took it to a new world.
So they said then that these do solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and in one another covenant. They made a covenant to combine ourselves together in a civil politic for the better ordering and preservation and furtherance of the ends foresaid by virtue. Where does virtue come from? The scriptures, from the Creator. Here do enact and constitute and frame such a just and equal laws. Boy, that's pretty profound right now. Yeah. Ordinance, acts, and constitutions. And the Constitution came later. This is 1620. And offices from time to time. But they put God first. And if you think about just old town America, just think about how America was 80 years ago. Do you know what you had? You had a post office, a firehouse, and a church, a saloon, and a couple things. The church played a major role. It's where people congregated, and the word of God was preached. The pure word of God was preached. And what we need to do is, as we're going through this great awakening or this great reset, the church needs to be reset, and we need to be reset on one accord.
By the way, Craig, if I could jump in there real quickly, most people don't know this, that the 13 original colonies were all dedicated by churches. The Church of England, that was in some of the southern states. They had the Baptist Church was in Maryland. So the original colonies were set up by denominations. Most of us don't understand that, right? And so when the idea came up with the separation between the church and state, which was the greatest lie ever told about it, they told us when the 13 colonies came together, that it wasn't going to be Baptist, it wasn't going to be Church of England, it wasn't going to be a church and government run by a king. And that's where the whole idea of separation between the church and state came from. And they were able to lie to us and tell us it meant that Christ was not part of our founding. A great lie they told us. Go ahead, brother.
Well, and self-governments cannot succeed without the virtue, which is the Holy Scriptures. That is the foundation of how to treat your fellow man. So, but anyways, so I get up and I start reading about this, and God just, I just go to my computer as I did with a calling to the people, which was a thing about repentance. And at like 3:30 in the morning, I wrote this prayer out for the American church. I just said, you know, what would God, you know, what would a prayer look like if we could come into an agreement about a prayer? Because I think it's very important to be in agreement of that. And so, Spencer, so maybe
if I could interrupt again, I interrupt for a living, I tell people. Folks, you have to understand this. What Craig has done, this prayer has been written, and Randy and some others have gotten involved. Here's the end game that we're talking about. We have been going, but through Craig's leadership, we've been going to local churches and prayer walking local churches and city council meetings and town entrances and schools, reclaiming those areas for the cause of Christ. So the reason Craig's on here talking about this tonight is because it's something you can do, and we give you the tools. Craig gives you the tools to go when you stake, when you leave a rock, what you can say, the prayer that you can say over it, and we invite the Holy Spirit back in. Remember this, it says in Joshua, every place you put your foot, God's given to us as an inheritance, and we are in the business of taking back property, land, territory for the cause of Christ. Go ahead, Craig.
So let's look at what the prayer is. Okay, can you pull up the prayer under the tab there? All these tabs have resources there. This is the prayer that the Lord said. So let me just read through it real quick, because this is either going to be, you're going to see this as something that the Holy Spirit was involved in, or you're going to see this as just some guy was writing it in the middle of the night. And this is the Lord, I believe. This is the Lord's heart.
So Lord, Craig, again, folks, I want you to understand this. Craig has led this movement. We take actual stones and we go to the church and we say this prayer over the church and we drop a stone as a memorial to what was just prayed there. So this prayer that Craig has written, it's been prayed over hundreds, literally hundreds of buildings, of churches, of city councils, everywhere. Go ahead, Craig.
Well, and being in agreement, that's the other thing too, okay? We can all say, hey, we need to pray for the American church. But when you're trying to break a spiritual stronghold, you have to come into an agreement, okay? And what we're doing is we're praying not against the people. We're praying for the people. We're praying for the pastor there. We're praying for the refining fire of the Holy Spirit to come down over this land, because people are congregating here expecting to hear the pure word of God. And you know what? Maybe they're hearing 85%. Maybe they're hearing, you know, 10%. That's not our job. Our job is to invite and ask for the Holy Spirit to put a wall of protection of angels over this church and to build this church up. And you'll see this in the prayer. It says, Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you stated no greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Lord, you laid down your life not only for mankind, but for your church. Remember, the gates of hell will not prevail, which represents your body. The body is the people, not the building.
Amen.
Come into the kingdom. We are in a kingdom right now for a time such as this to walk this land. And you tell it what the church's name. It bears and represents your name. There's a cross there. When people see crosses, they think of Christ. We ask for the refining fire of the Holy Spirit to fall on its land, its leadership, and its body of believers who attend here. We ask that your name be elevated as you sit at the right hand of the Father at this location. We ask that you bless. See, we're asking for blessings, shaking, molding, perfecting the works of this church into the image of yourself, not as a retreating king, not as a little baby being held in a manger, but as a conquering king.
Amen.
We embolden all pastors. We need our pastors to be emboldened. They are the leaders. We need the elders, the membership of this church, to be bold as lions, warriors in the battle, pushing back against the works of Satan and his minions. Matthew 16:18 states, this is one you can stand on. The gates of hell will not prevail against your church. You said, I will build my church. The church is not going to go under. The church is going over, guys.
Yeah,
so, Lord, stand here today with the anointed feet of the Holy Spirit. You give the date, the church's name, the city. You're a witness to his mighty word, praying in agreement. When you pray in agreement in the Holy Spirit, you have power and authority given to you by the Son. Your spoken words referenced previously, inviting, releasing the Holy Spirit to bring refining fire of the Spirit on the property, the persons, the soul, cleanse, refine, purify, fortify for the days ahead, as stated in your word, Matthew 16:18. Build this church, Lord. Lead this church to overcome the unfruitful works of the devil and his minions at this location. Why? Because I got news for you. If you're moving the ball against the devil, trust me, he has that church picked out. He has that pastor picked out. He has discord in that church. He has all kinds of things going on in that church. He probably has witches and warlocks coming in there and worshiping. And the town it occupies. And we ask that you bring lost souls in the church to this proximity to salvation at the kingdom of God, this location, because you've refined it by your Holy Spirit fire. This church is operating as you intended it to be. And the gates of hell will not prevail at this location anymore, because you, Lord Jesus, are here in the midst through the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It's proclaimed, it's decreed, and it's released today. And you know what? You can make a decree, because everything that's stated in there is God's heart. His heart is for his church, which is his people, and his heart is for his people to overcome the works and the minions of the devil. And
you so say, we reclaim this property for the cause of Christ, and I pray the Holy Spirit to be welcomed back in here and the power of God to show up. And Craig, I just happen to have right here on my desk, these are the little rocks, folks. You can go get them a lot of places. This says Joshua 1 verse 3. It says, every place you put your foot, given unto you as an inheritance. So when we're done with this rocking or staking, whatever you want to call, we leave a marker. We put it at the four corners of the church, the four corners of the town, whatever it is. How about your child's bedroom? How about your house? How about your all kinds of things that we can do with this? And this is nothing more than an emblem to signify the fact that we have reclaimed that property for the cause of Christ. What's it say, Craig? That even the rocks will cry out. Folks, right. This is so simple to do. This is so simple. Two of you can do it. You and a buddy, you and your wife. And it's a way, I think, that you can get your church actively involved in making a difference in your community. Joshua 1, 3. Go ahead, Craig.
So, Ms. Spencer, if you go back up to the main page, this idea of leaving the rocks is probably new to a lot of people, but it's throughout the whole Bible. One is when they crossed the Jordan River, they were told to pick up 12 rocks, leave them as a symbol for the kids so they can do it. But at the very end, that's why I put this on here in Joshua. It says, this is the end of Joshua, after he's conquered the land. And he wrote these words in the book of law, and he took a large stone and he set it underneath the tree by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, remember, this is agreement, right? Behold, this stone will be a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord that he spoke to us. Therefore, it shall be a witness against you, lest you deal falsely with your God, right? So if it was important enough for Joshua to leave a stone, I think it's important for us. You anoint it with oil. If you go to our resources there, if you click on resources, it tells you why you do this, okay? You know, prayer to do list, click that. It tells you everything that you need to. Why are we anointing with oil? What's the reason? I give you links to Bible Hub. Okay. So you can sit there and see the consecration of oil is very important. That's why when somebody's truly sick, what do? You call the elders of the church, you put hands on them, and you put oil. This is a spiritual technique that has great effects in the spirit realm.
So, Rick, Craig, we know this because we've been to the Washington's Monument. We've been to the Capitol building. We know that a lot of these things, these edifices they build as memorial to whatever it is that they're supporting, right? Folks, you understand that, right? And I don't know where you live, but out here in the cornfields of Ohio where I live, when you drive in and out of a town, there's a sign there. It says, now entering Buckeye Lake, now entering Newark. And it's those places where we have we're getting people to go to those opening at those gates and pray over the city entrance and put a rock down, reclaiming it for the cause of Christ. And Craig, I don't want to get ahead of us here, but I know we got some folks in here maybe that could testify a little bit about some of the things that they've done and the changes that we've seen. Craig, if I can switch gears real quickly here, I think it's important for people to understand. This is a whole different story. but we threw salt in the Ohio River. Again, this is one of Craig's ideas. The Ohio River, I'm in Ohio, right? The Ohio River begins up by Youngstown, Ohio. And we went up and we salted the Ohio River. We went down to Cincinnati and we salted the river. And then a couple of weeks ago, I was able to go up to Minnesota, and we put salt in the Mississippi River at the fountainhead of the Mississippi River. And because why? We're reclaiming all of this property for the cause of Christ. And Craig, we're looking for more people to do the exact same thing. Now, friends, listen, you don't need the approval of your pastor. You can do this. Get a rock, write on a rock, grab a buddy and say, come on, let's go. In fact, do you have a prayer group in your home? And you say, listen, we're going to go out. We're going to go shop. And I see Betty's in there. Betty's going to grab one of her friends. And she says, listen, we're going to go out. We're going to do a little bit of staking here in the morning, and then I'll take you to lunch in the afternoon. And that's how we begin to spread this and help people get engaged in the cause for Christ. Go ahead, Craig.
Yeah, no, and we'll get into them in just one second, because I just want to finish. Just so this website is your platform. It's not my platform. It's those who are going to come over, and they're going to say, you know what? I want to pray over my city. I want to pray over the things that are going on in the churches around here. And this is where, if you go in, you'll see about the 10 churches. Why do 10 churches come into the effect? Okay, this ties into what Abraham did. He interceded with God because judgment was coming against Sodom and Gomorrah. And of course, Lot lived there, right? And he negotiated with God from 50 down to 10. And what that tells you is that, you know what? God does not, his desire is not to take out your city. It's not to destroy your city. It's actually to save it. But you know what? He needed to find 10 righteous. And so what we're asking for you, if you want to pray for 3, that's great. But pick 10 churches by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Don't make it by your flesh. Don't sit there and make your list right now. Just think, you know what? And over the next couple of weeks, have the Refiner's Fire prayer, which is on here. You can print it off and have it in your car. Have some rocks anointed and just go over and say, you know, I'm going to stop over here and I'm going to pray over this church. And I just, you know, let's bring in somebody and just say, hey, I've done a couple of these. And at first I kind of was like, okay, I mean, I was on board. But when you actually start walking and doing this, you're going to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. You're going to feel very powerful that, you know what, I needed to be here and I needed to do this. So maybe that's a little start up here with Ray, because I know Ray's done a lot. And go ahead, Ray, just tell us
Ray's in Wisconsin, right? Ray's in Wisconsin. So folks, look, this is going on all across America, and you can get involved and you can make a difference rather than us sitting around complaining about the Republicans and the Democrats and Trump and Biden. Let's get out ahead of this thing and let's close some portals. Let's close some open doors that for whatever reason, our nation is permitted to be open. And as I said earlier, whole creation groans waiting for God's people to show up. And this is the kind of stuff that we can do. Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead. Come on in, Ray.
Craig, your vision prompted me to another scripture verse. You talked about Abraham, where he placed his foot. Well, the prayer of Jabez in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. This word's for you, too.
Hey, Ray, can you change your camera a little bit? There we go. Now we can see it.
Okay, yeah, 1 Chronicles 4, Jabez's prayer. It's in the middle of a genealogy reading. All it is telling, name after name. Pop, all of a sudden, Jabez prays to the Lord to expand his boundaries. And the Lord heard his prayer, and he did such. I think in today's vernacular, expanding boundaries, in your vision, is expanding it through the churches. These churches are the spiritual stronghold that unites us together as one. So as we pray that prayer like Jabez did, the Lord hears that. There's 167 churches you've got listed. If Coach would put the ones he went to, it'd be over 200. But this is a growing Refiner's Fire that you've started. And it's a very, the prayer that you wrote, I have it in my Bible, the Refiner's Fire prayer, and I keep it with me. And looking for occasions, I've gone to at least 10 churches where we've dropped off this information, prayed this prayer and dropped the stone and prayed for our city and prayed for the Lord would unite this vision that he's given you. So Thanks for what you're doing and keep it up.
Let me ask you a question, right? Did you feel like, you know what, like you were supposed to be there? Like sometimes you just know that this is something that you're supposed to do.
Yes, yes. I felt a strong urge to be out upon it. So that's the leading of the Holy Spirit to those that have ears to hear and are willing to take that walk. You know, that's what he wants to do. And it's going to be through us. It's like in 2 Chronicles 7:14. It all fits in together. These scriptures, same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. They're for us today. So let's
do it. So, Ray, I know that me, when I started, sometimes you feel like you're robbing the place, right? You feel like you got to sneak in to do it. And finally, I was doing it one time, and somebody came out. I was out in front of the church, and I was prayer walking, and I dropped one of the stones. And somebody came outside, and they said, "Pardon me, sir, what are you doing?" And I said, "I'm praying for your church." They didn't know what to say, right? "I'm praying for your church," and then that started a conversation, right? So, friends, again, creation's grown and waiting for us to show up, and I think this is just a miraculous way, number one, to invite Christ back into our churches, and number two, help your brothers and sisters in Christ get involved in this game.
Yeah, and I don't know if Spencer can pull it up, but there's a picture of me with a Lutheran pastor, and I was down in Fredericksburg, and I was visiting this church because we were down there helping some friends. And I just was going to Sunday school, and I said, I'm going to pray this prayer over your church, sir. I just want to let you know. And he, you know, looked at the prayer, and he says, well, you can pray it at the end of service. And so I got up at the end of service and prayed it over the whole congregation, and they were very thankful for it. I think you're going to get a lot of positive reactions when you do it, because this isn't a negative prayer. This isn't like, hey, you know, you're doing a bad thing, wrong thing, and you need to get straight, or you're not. This is about emboldening the Holy Spirit on their church, and people welcome that. So, but maybe we can bring in Dave, because Dave has been doing it, and then he could also talk about a song that he put in that you're able to share on the website. So, Dave, why don't you come in and share your part?
First of all, Dave, where are you from, Dave?
I'm in Michigan. That state up north.
All right, we don't give a damn the whole state. Go ahead, brother.
No, the thanks, Greg, and thanks, Ray, for sharing. And what's important that really the Lord laid on my heart about this whole thing is that, like Layton's theme song says, get out of the seats, get on the streets. And that's the church is failing at that, right? They don't know how to get out of the pew and go do something. It's been mentioned before that ask a man to pray in public, and he freezes, he locks up, right? And what do I do? What does that tell you? He doesn't have a prayer life, right? Mm-hmm. So what else does that tell you? That he doesn't really believe in the power of prayer. So what's really, really critical about this is two things. It gets you out of your seat. You got to remember when David fought Goliath, like you said, didn't start out. Spencer, I'm getting feedback from your microphone.
There you go.
Thanks. He didn't start out, right? He said, "Hey, wait, I fought a lion. I fought a bear." So when he came up against Goliath, he already had that confidence. He already had that courage. And we're lacking courage in the church, right?
Right.
And so we don't know how to pray. We don't believe in praying to some degree. And we don't know how to become active and get out of our seat and do something. That's why I think this is so great. It's a really small step of faith. But like I shared earlier in 1 Corinthians, let me read that because I think it's critical. It says, "Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential, and not many were noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. Amen. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong." So the world thinks you go and put a rock and put it on a location and say a prayer, that's foolishness, right? They see that as absolute foolishness. And actually half of the church does as well. Maybe no, 3/4 of the church. 99% of the church thinks it's foolish, right?
Amen.
But what happens is, when you go and you put that stone, you say that prayer, and then all of a sudden, something happens. and you think, oh, wow. I guess that is true, that scripture says if you got the faith of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. So I think that's why this idea that the Lord put on Craig's heart is a phenomenal first step. Ray's already been out on the streets. This is nothing new for him. So to go stone churches and say prayers, this is the old hat for Ray. But Ray, you didn't start out that way. There was that first time you went out on the street and held up a sign or whatever, and you thought, man, I must look like a fool out here, right? But pretty soon, the Lord works in you, and he moves, and he gives you that encouragement. And so that's why I'm 100% behind this whole idea, and I fully support it 150%. And then when Craig called me and said, hey, Dave, I think we need a song here. And I said, a song about Stony Rocking? And they said, yeah, I got this. You know, remember that old Convoy song? I feel the Lord's wanting to use that same kind of principle here. And what's really, like you said, we're in one accord. And despite the fact that we've already stated Ray's in Wisconsin, Craig's in Maryland, and Coach is in Ohio, I'm in Michigan, and Betty, you know, she's in another location, Ohio. But collectively, we really do represent a convoy, collectively, of people out doing this will for the kingdom of God. And so I had, when Craig mentioned this to me, I had very little faith in myself or the idea that this was even going to work. I had never made a music video before. And again, I usually only write songs that are, God gives me inspiration. And so sure enough, Craig, I think it was a Thursday or Friday, asked me, and that Sunday, I sat down and God gave me this whole song in one foul swoop. So I guess, Spencer, you're going to share this. So this is what God gave me that Sunday morning, sitting on my living room couch. Go ahead and let it go.
Dave, before you do, folks, listen, I want you to think about this, right? You're building an electrical fence, an invisible fence. Some of you have those for your dogs, right? You build an invisible fence for your dog. You put a little thing on him. He can't leave. When we prayer walk and stake one of these buildings, we're building an electrical fence. The enemy can't come in there, folks. It's a spiritual aspect. I think it's important we understand that. Go ahead, Dave.
Amen. And so, yeah, so this, and you know, it's, before you play with Spencer, I got to admit, way back when I was in college, very young man, before music videos had even been thought of, I shared with friends of mine that were musicians, and I always thought, you know, music would be so much more powerful if it had a video presentation to go along with the song. Well, we all know where that went to. And, you know, so that's why I appreciate this. And I appreciate that God gave me a little bit of wisdom how to put some graphics together with this. So anyways, this is it.
Is around noon on the 6th of June, we started our covert mission trip. We were taking back the ground the enemy stole from our kinship. Driving a Silverado expedition and a Kia Soul, we were moving incognito, looked like a traveling circus show.
We got a little old convoy rocking through the night. Yeah, we got a little old convoy, it's a beautiful sight. Come on and join our convoy, ain't nothing gonna get in our way. We're gonna roll this rockin' convoy across the USA. Convoy.
Look at the states joining in.
In West Virginia,
South Carolina, Tennessee.
Now we knew that there would be a fight with the enemy's motley crew, but the gates of hell will not prevail against our spiritual kung fu. Our weapons were not of carnal nature, only stakes and stones, each one marked with scripture to the devil as a skull and crossbones.
We got a little convoy rocking through the night.
got a stakeout for the devil in West Virginia.
Our spiritual dragnet became the devil's worst nightmare. He walked right into our trap, found his foot was in a snare. Courage became contagious, one man put a thousand to flight. The enemy was on the run when a thousand people joined the fight. The Holy Spirit has people joining from every town and state. Some joined the convoy early, some got on the bandwagon late. Warriors of every size, short, tall, thin, and round. This convoy's a-getting mighty big, soon we'll be rolling through your town.
Wisconsin, we're hardcore stoners here. Hey, Texas, how about you?
Texas, yeah, buddy, we're on it.
Well, we put our stakes and stones, each one strategically placed. Location where the devil and his crew had evilly disgraced. Cities, towns, government buildings, yes, churches too. Let's keep the devil on the run, that's why we need you.
We are a raging convoy, walking through the night. Yeah, we are a mighty convoy, ain't she a beautiful sight? Come on and join our convoy, ain't nothing gonna get in our way. We'll roll this rockin' convoy, cross USA, convoy.
There is no place convoy left for the devil to hide in Ohio.
This is Payne staking to the devil.
Oklahoma, I think we're actually running out of stones here.
Amen. Well done, Dave. That's well done.
So, Dave, you know, he took that. And, you know, one of the things that we tried to do is when God gave me the prayer, I mean, I didn't think about having a website. But as God kind of gave me this vision, he says, you know, you got to present this where people can come along, right? Because if you think about a triathlon athlete, you know, you just kind of hand a torch to the next person. You know, what we're trying to do is hand this torch across those who are going to come and hear this message and be called to do it, and then be able to equip them with the resources. What are you doing? Why are you doing it? And we made a couple different little videos, and maybe we'll show one at the very end. But, you know, these are, if you look at the top right, that's an easy link you can share with someone. And if you scroll down, we have Facebook and X, and we put things on there. So you can share this information on our website. Then we have an interactive map there, too. And this is where you'll be able to actually add the location of your church. And as Spencer's doing it, you keep, it's like Google Maps. You can actually see where, you know, we're getting people to participate. So those who are viewing this for the first time, we want to ask you to join. We want you to participate. We want you to share. We want you to say, hey, look, I got to do this and put your town in, right? Because you know what? You know, would you want someone, you know, not to be praying for your town? Of course you would, right? So you can join us with that. And then, you know, let's get Betty in here, and she can speak about what she's doing there with in her part of the town, and her feelings of being out and praying at churches, you know.
Well, I've been staking for a while, but I love the idea that you came up with the churches and the rocks. You know, we would be staking them with little stakes in four corners, and the rocks are so much easier. So, you know, most churches are not bold as lion. They're just so lukewarm. So we need to get them on fire again, and we need to keep praying about them, you know. So anyway, on my rocks, which I carry with me with my prayer and my bag of rocks and my both of my vehicles, I put Joshua 1:3 on there, but I also have Psalms 143:10 and Ephesians 6. And Psalms 143:10 says, teach me your way, for you are my God. Let the Holy Spirit lead me on level ground. And then I've done Freemason building, so I like to put Ephesians 6 on there and putting the whole armor of God on. So along with reading your prayer, a lot of times I'll read Psalms 91 or Psalms 5, or just pick a Psalms to read, and then I say a prayer. So, you know, I love spreading the fire for Jesus. I want to expand the kingdom of God. That is why I'm out there. And I'm trying to get everybody on the same page as us, so that we need to be an army for the Lord. We need to go out there and fight and stand strong.
Well, thank you, Betty. And, you know, and part of the coach, too, is, you know, we got to name our gates. All right. The devil's already named the gates. just go to your city and look at who's put their names as you come in to there. And if you even look at the temple, every gate into the temple had a name on it. Okay. So, you know, we're literally doing what Joshua did. You know, the pilgrims kind of started us off on taking this land step by step, but, you know, we need to go back and reclaim it because the devil got in and he's going to get into the church, because the church is the power authority for the Lord to be able to get people to be not only saved, but live moral lives. And this all translates into all the problems that's going on here. When the church really became, let's just say, ineffective and past tense, all these things in our nation really started unraveling over the last 60 years.
Well, Craig, one of the things that we try to do is stake our courthouses, folks. So many things are being done in America by the courts. Unelected judges are the ones who are making some of the decisions on it. And so we made a point of, there are 88 counties in the state of Ohio, to go to all 88 counties in Ohio and stake, prayer walk, leave a rock at each one of those courthouses. Let justice roll down like a mighty river. Let justice roll down. And if we get actively involved with this, folks, we're going to be surprised what happens. Let me, if I can, Craig, tell a story, a true story. About a month ago, 6 weeks ago now, I don't remember how long it was, my wife and I made a trip to Minnesota. Minnesota, you guys all know about Minnesota, right? And George Floyd and everything that's going on up there. And Minnesota is being given over to the Muslims. One of the strongholds of Islam in America is in Minneapolis. And so my wife and I found ourselves with another couple hosted us. We found ourselves in Minneapolis. And what do? We went out and we prayer walked the courthouse. We went out and we prayer walked the state capitol. We put those rocks down. We invited Christ back into it. We prayer walked churches that were all around that Minnesota area. We prayer walked and we left rocks. We did stones. And as I said, we even salted the waters. And who would even think about it, Craig? Here we get home this week and I look and what's happening? Is anybody noticing the expose of what's going on in Minnesota? The government money that's being funded there, that's being wasted there behind our scenery that we didn't even know it? Is it possible the fact that we showed up and invited Christ back into it, that all of this stuff is being revealed? Hey, Craig, to tell you, made me want to kind of beat on my chest a little bit, right? Say, let's go find another place. Let's open these portals. Let's open these strongholds. Let's pull down those strongholds and invite Christ back into those gates where he belongs, right? We're supposed to storm the gates of hell. Friends, that isn't hell itself. It's the access to the demonic realm. We're supposed to storm those gates of hell. And this is just brilliant what the Lord has given Craig. Can I stop for a minute, Craig? Actually, it's Steve Hemphill who started it out. Steve is up on the screen here. I see over on my screen. Steve's the guy who came up with the idea of putting stakes in the ground. And we just picked it up and ran with it. And I said, man, rocks are easier than stakes. Rocks are easy, man. You just throw them down there. So I want to give credit to Steve Hemphill because he's the guy that came up with the idea. And then Craig really picked it up and ran with it.
Well, yeah. And, you know, that's Steve's interview. And for folks that are new to this and saying, you know, gosh, this kind of sounds like a ritual or something like that, I really encourage you just to say, okay, let me investigate this a little bit more. And you can watch his link there. But Spencer, I want you to go and up, if you can pull those pictures I gave you, the first group. So, Coach, I want to share a story with you here, okay? Not that one. It's going to be of the fire. Yes, that building right there. So God gives me this prayer in July, right? And there's this whole thing in here about the Epstein files. And I do this thing called Saving God's Children, right, which is about child trafficking, human trafficking. And God says, you know, you need to go down to the pizza place in D.C. and pray against it, because that's where a lot of bad things happen. And I did. But he's like, okay, while you're down there, Mr. Refiner's Fire, why don't you start praying for some churches? Start it in D.C., right? This is the thrones of government. So I go to this church after I go to this pizza place, and I get my Refiner's Fire prayer out. I get my rock and everything, and I'm walking out the back of my car. And lo and behold, the fire engine of the firehouse, and maybe Spencer has it right next door, goes out on a call. I'm not even behind my car. And I'm a fireman. I spent 30 years in the fire department as a captain. And God tells me this in my spirit. He says, you had a career of putting out fires. I'm now anointing you to start fires.
Wow.
Okay. And I was like, okay. So then, Spencer, I went around and I prayed at 6 different locations across Washington, D.C. And I stopped right there. That was my last church that God put on my heart. That's St. John's Church. This is famous because this is where the BLM riots were. That street used to be painted with BLM stuff. President Trump made them go back. They closed that street off, and it was an assembly for people to come in and congregate. And they caught that building on fire during the riots, okay, where you were at in Minnesota for George Floyd.
Yep.
Okay. And if you can show, Spencer, a picture, it's right next to the White House. I put that. That's me sitting on the steps, Refiner's Fire prayer, okay. And maybe Spencer can show the proximity. So that's where the White House is. That's where God said, you stop and make that your last church. And this began on July 20th. Now, 21 days later, okay, President Trump brings the National Guard in to Washington, D.C. You can look at that's August 11th. 50 days later, Spencer, pull up what's in the chat. President Trump goes on September 8th. 50 days later, you know, 50 is a jubilee, and he starts this initiative at the Bible Museum. Religious freedom unveils America praise. Most people haven't heard of this. It hasn't been promoted. I don't know why. And President Trump says he wants 10 people to get together 1 hour a week and pray over the nation till its 250th birthday.
Mm.
September 8th. If you go from July 20th to September 8th, that's 50 days.
Wow.
And I'm praying Refiner's Fire at the church next to the White House. Okay. I see that as like confirmation, just like you're saying. Okay. So I know that this is an anointing. From the time that the fire engine got a call to the first church I went to these little subtle things, what the Lord's telling us is we need to pray over our 10 churches in our cities. We need to come together as a church. Christ is our King, and we need to be the hands and feet of voice of Jesus and bring Jesus back in our nation.
So gates are, Craig, what are gates? Folks, where you live, what is a gate? Well, a gate's an opening, is it not? Sometimes they have an actual gate, but sometimes we call them doors, right? Go to the front door, go to the back door, go to the side door. They use the term gates because gate represents an entryway. And what we have come to understand, what Craig has talked about, thank you, Spence, for getting that up there, a large door which gives entrance into a walled city. So what we're saying is, first of all, we're going to close some gates, some demonic openings that have been there for who knows how they got in there, but they're there. And we're going to open some other gates. And that's what, when we started, I talked about the whole creation groaneth, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Folks, we got to do more than just pray. We have to pray and then act. I was a football coach. I called the play, sent it in with a guy, and then I prayed, right? We're going to run 26 power, and then I prayed over it. I didn't just pray. I sent a guy in and run a play. And this has been just a really great opportunity. Craig has shown us all how we can play, how we can get in the game, how just an old clunky guy like me can actually make a difference. I can close a gate. I can open a gate. I can block. I don't have to carry the ball. And from my perspective, one of the problems that we have is we are so dependent on our pastors. Friends, listen to me. Listen to me, those of you at Wisconsin Christian News. Listen, your pastor may not catch the vision. The Lord gave the vision to you. I can do that. You can do that. Find somebody else and go do it. You may be, what do they call that? That the unknown soldier, and that the guy marches there in Washington, D.C., Craig, the guy back and forth. Nobody knows who he is, but he represents those who are moving in darkness and obedience to the Lord. Become the unknown soldier, the tomb of the unknown soldier. Be the guy that's out there without the approval of your pastor or the ministerial association. Get some of the people in your prayer group, and for heaven's sakes, go open some gates for the Lord and close some gates to keep the wicked one out.
Well, amen, Coach. And you know, that's it. You know, this is a calling that you have on yourself. You don't need approval of anybody. All you have to do is do it. And what I do is just try it once. try it one time and see if you don't get the conviction of the Lord that you're supposed to be in the right place. And Spencer, maybe you could pick that one song up that says God of the City. This is where this came from, because if it starts in Washington, D.C., right? Okay. Mm-hmm. We want it to move out and we want it to move west there. And we got a little another song here that.
And Craig, Craig, by the way, everything they need is right here on this website.
Right. It's on the main page there, Spencer. Go up and you'll see Steve Deck right below Rock in the USA. Steve Deck. And Steve Deck is praying over there in 2021 over the southern boundary stone, the Patriotic boundary stones of D.C. We've been praying over this city, Coach, for 5 years. Okay. Yes. This is fruit of what we're doing. Okay. This whole thing is fruit of what we're doing. But play that one little song real quick, and you can share this. Okay. That's Marine One coming in. And this is a song that Chris Tomlin made, God of the City. And what God is the God of every city. Mm-hmm. That's he's the God of every city in America. Reclaim it. Go ahead, Spence.
You're the God of this city. You're the king of these people. You're the lord of this nation. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. The greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city.
Wow, that's powerful, Craig.
And you can share that, and you can join us on Facebook and X and all the other things. So if you go to a church, Spencer, you can pull up our Facebook page. You can like us and share us, add your location, you know, do that. And, you know, you can share this with your friends on Facebook very easily. So what we want to just do is I want to make an invitation for you to join us in Refiner's Fire for those who are watching. The resources, all the tabs up there, you can go through them at your leisure. You have the resources to click and share these videos very quickly with your friends, post them on your sites. Be the hands, feet, and voice of Christ in your own local community. Coach Dave really hit that home to me. He said, your biggest impact is where you live. That's your greatest impact. And you can make a difference. That's the thing. People say, don't vote. You don't make a difference. Wrong. Vote. It's your duty. You have a duty to pray and intercede over your city.
The whole creation groaneth, Craig, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Folks, we think there's no power in the gospel anymore. We don't understand the power of our obedience. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We understand that we understand what the weapons of our warfare are not, right? They say the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Well, what are they? Well, this is one of them, we think. Staking, obedience, prayer, reclaiming territory, putting our foot on the ground and reclaiming it for the cause of Christ. Craig, we got just about a minute left here, brother. Just kind of wrap it up here.
I'm going to share the verse that I put on my rocks, and you put whatever verse you want to. Please let the Holy Spirit lead you in this. Try to take your flesh out of it. Participate it. Let him pick the churches, when, where, how. Just go while they're not there, park on the parking lot, walk, pray the prayer in agreement, pray other prayers that are on your heart. Whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do, do it. But this is the one that I think that I left because it means what I think we're fighting against. It's in the end of Romans 8, which is a great chapter, right? It says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That building represents Christ Jesus, and we want the Holy Spirit to refine it and make the light
Craig,
of the community.
I'm sorry, Craig, we got to run, man. Folks, pray for Rob Pugh. Pray for Rob Pugh. God bless you all, folks. Thanks for joining us.